Well, good morning. It's so good to be here. As I said at the beginning, if you have come in late, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek. We're our campus of Revive Wesleyan, and we're in store for a phenomenal morning. We've already begun that, and it's been incredible. God is here with us as he always is, and we're just excited to be able to worship along with his presence. So this morning, we are going to celebrate together baptisms. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Dan shared with us and really set the stage very well for us to talk about this new life that we get to celebrate as we experience baptism this morning. And sometimes we observe baptism as one of two sacraments in the church. The other sacrament is actually communion, which will be coming up very soon this month as well. And so, but this one, this baptism, is often referred to as scripture sometimes as like the symbolism or the idea of Jesus washing away our sins. And while that is sort of some truth to that, there's also some other areas of baptism and some symbolism in baptism that we're going to look at this morning specifically, and even the Apostle Paul himself speaks to in Scripture. And so we get this concept of washing away our sins through baptism really in Acts 22, verse 16, where we see a man who prays for Paul. This newly converted individual who had been persecuting Christians, and now he's come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and Paul is told by this individual, get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. But is baptism actually washing away our sins? So Paul kind of elaborates more on that throughout Scripture, throughout the stories that he tells and the books and the letters that he writes, and he shows us that baptism is really a symbol or a picture of life and death, a picture of life and death. And he spoke a lot about baptism because in the very first century church, most of the time when somebody entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, they would immediately be baptized. It wasn't like a waiting period. It was something that they would do almost instantly. And Jesus himself tells us to make disciples, as we talked about last week, make disciples, go and baptize others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. But we're going to also answer the question, what does it mean to share in the death of Jesus? And what does it mean to share in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, we get a little picture of that through baptism. Let me begin. We're going to be in Colossians and Romans this morning. We're going to briefly sort of share an explanation of baptism this morning together before we get to witness baptism. So Colossians 2:12 says this, having been buried with him, being Jesus, in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So this verse, this short little passage here, it's really talking to us and giving us this idea that as we go under the water, we are sharing in the death of Jesus Christ. And as we come back up out of the water, we are sharing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, we're going to answer those two questions briefly this morning. What does it mean to share in the death of Jesus? So yes, it's a great symbol of that, but what does it actually mean? And then what does it mean to share in the resurrection? It's great. It's a great symbol of that, but what does that mean for us as followers of Jesus Christ? We're going to start with, what does it mean to share in the death of Jesus? You see, when we put our faith in Jesus, our life is joined with him. When we acknowledge that Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior, our life is joined with him. Paul actually says we are now in Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit at that moment living in us. We are unified with our Creator and with our Savior. It's a lot like a marriage. Jesus himself uses marriage as an analogy for his relationship with his creation. But it's a lot like a marriage. When I married my wife, Christy, I inherited, and what was hers all of a sudden became mine, both the good and the bad. Both her material possessions and everything that she had and she owned, as well as her debts, all of that became mine, and similarly, all of mine became hers. And so we sort of acquired each other's positives and negatives, and now we are one, and we work through that. The interesting thing is that when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, the same thing happens, but it's very lopsided and very much so in our favor. Because what happens is when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, he acquires all of our debt, all of our sin, all of the punishment that we deserve. He takes that upon himself. In exchange for that, because he is perfect and sinless and died and defeated death, in exchange for that, he gives us his unlimited grace and mercy and love. So it's very lopsided. He gets all of our filth, all of our negativity, and all of our sin, and we are given all of his perfection, his love, and his mercy. What an incredible exchange. What an incredible loving exchange. And so when that happens, when we enter into that relationship with Jesus, our relationship with sin changes. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look and see what Paul has as we move to Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says this. Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? This is after Paul is teaching the Romans on the grace that Jesus extends us. Should we just keep sinning so he can give us more grace? He says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. What a beautiful truth that Paul states here. He says that part of sharing in the death of Jesus is being dead to sin and ultimately its eternal consequences that it has on our lives. It's a part of our old life. It's gone. Our debt is erased. It's died. And we share in that death of our sin and its control over us as we go under the water in baptism. Listen how Paul continues in verses 6 and 7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has control over us when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When sin comes knocking at our door, because it still will, there still will be temptations. We now have the power to say, you don't control me. The sin that once had power and authority over us, now we have power and authority over it through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus Christ. A men's group I was in the past used this phrase, sin is not my master, Jesus is. Anytime we would enter into a situation that was tempting or frustrating or would produce some sort of sin, we would say or speak to ourselves or even text one another sometimes. It was like a code that we needed prayer for something. Sin is not my master, Jesus is. Sin is not my master, Jesus is. And so we have that power available to us, and that sin dies. That power of sin dies. And that's what this beautiful symbol, this beautiful picture of death is as we go under the water of baptism. Sharing the death of Jesus, we are forgiven and dead to sin. Let's read verse 11, Romans 6, verse 11. It says this, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. So we talked about this death to sin, the sharing in the death of Jesus Christ as we experience and eliminate the power that sin has over us. But it doesn't end there. We don't baptize people and leave them underwater. That would sort of not be very beneficial, right? So we bring them back up. We bring them back up as a symbol and a sign, as a picture of resurrection. But what does that mean? Back to Colossians, Paul says in 2:13, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. God made you alive with Christ. And that's what we witness every single time we see somebody coming up out of the waters of baptism. We see somebody raised to a new life. A new life found in Jesus Christ. A life that is alive to God. That's what we get to experience. That's what we get to witness. In Jesus, we find a whole new life and a whole new way of thinking. You see, before Jesus, it's very easy for us to try and find our identity in the things that we own, the material things in our life, our accomplishments, our achievements, how many followers we have on social media, whatever that looks like. It's so easy to fall into this comparison trap that we're actually going to talk a little bit about next week as well. It's so easy to find our identity in the things around us, to find our identity in the world around us. But when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we no longer find our identity in the things of the world. We find our identity in Jesus Christ. We find our life and our value in Jesus Christ. Our worth is in Jesus Christ. And that's what we remember as we come up out of the water,
I no longer find my identity in myself. I no longer find my identity in the things of this world. I no longer find my identity in what I own or what I've accomplished. I find my identity in the person of Jesus Christ, and I am going to live that life to the fullest. And how incredible that will be. In conclusion, as I said, this is a short little brief explanation of what baptism is. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this. It gives us a picture, an explanation of what this new life looks like. Again, this is the Apostle Paul himself writing these words. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. That's scripture explaining exactly what I have just said. We no longer find our value in this world. Our minds are set on heavenly things rather than on focusing on everything that takes place in the world around us. I've said in the past, we are citizens of heaven first, and then we live that citizenship out here on earth. And so when we experience baptism, we see this experience and this reality that we die and share in the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end there. We have new life found in him, and we live that out through the power of Jesus Christ and the baptism. So, one final thing. Does baptism save you? Does baptism wash away your sins? The answer is no. Only Jesus Christ and his blood washes you clean of your sins and eliminates the power and authority that sin has over you. But what Jesus has called us to do is to publicly profess that reality in our lives through the act of baptism. And so that's what we get to experience in this moment. And we're going to hear in just a few minutes small stories and testimonies from each of the individuals who are being baptized. We used to do this in the past, but we stopped doing it for a while, and we think there's power in you hearing the story of one another. And so we're going to hear a story, and then we're going to baptism. And I would encourage you to celebrate and to cheer, because these individuals are identifying that they have already been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now they want to let the world know through baptism. And that's what we're going to do together in just a few minutes. So let me pray, and then we will sing a song, and then we will experience and celebrate baptisms together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you have taken our punishment, that you want to enter into a relationship with us that by the world's standards makes no sense. You call us into a relationship with you even in the midst of our brokenness, in our suffering. And you want to make us whole. You want us to experience hope, healing, and grace that only you can offer. And so, Lord, I thank you for those in this room that have experienced that reality. I thank you for those that are about to be baptized in the reality that they have and the fact that they want to share and publicly say to the world, I love Jesus. I have a new life in him. I'm no longer controlled by sin, but I am controlled and empowered by Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we continue by singing. Grace runs deep while
Oh, God, we thank you. Yeah, let's praise him. God, we thank you and we praise you. You know who we are. And God, we know that we are your children, made alive in Christ, dead to sin, but alive in you, Jesus. So we are just so thankful for your love, for your friendship. God, that you are God, and there is none other, and you love us. What an amazing truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I am Jody Walczak. I am Ashton and Xander's mom. This is Ashton's faith story. My name is Ashton Walczak. I am in fifth grade. My family and I have been going to church since I was a baby. I was baptized at my old church because my parents made that choice for me when I couldn't. Now that I understand all the things Jesus has done for me, I have made the decision to get baptized on my own.
All right. So, Ashton, is it your desire to let the world know that you love and trust Jesus?
Yes.
Through baptism, all right? Okay, so, all right, why don't you grab your nose there. You're going to want to do that. All right, here we go. And you guys got to cheer loud when he comes up out of the water, okay? We just explain what it means, all right? So, all right, Ashton Walczak, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! All right, I'm going to pray for you, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Ashton. We thank you for his young faith. And Lord, we ask that it would grow deep in him at a young age, as it already has. Allow him to go from here with the power and authority over sin that you have given him, even at a young age, as he moves forward in his relationship with you. We love you and praise you and ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Great job, man.
And this is Xander's faith story. Hi, my name is Xander Walczak, and I am in sixth grade. I've been going to church since I was born with my parents. As I got older, I started to learn about Jesus in Sunday school. I learned that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that his sacrifice saved me. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and that's why I'm choosing to be baptized today.
All right. All right, Xander, is it your desire to let the world know that you love Jesus through baptism?
Yes.
All right, okay. All right. Xander Walczak, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! All right. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we pray so much for Xander. We thank you for his dedication and his desire to follow you again, even like his brother at a young age. We ask that you would go before him, prepare the way for the things that you want him to do. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for this moment in his life. Let him not forget it as he's experiencing new life in you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. All right.
Hi, I'm Tori and I'm Evelyn's mom. And here's Evelyn's faith story. It says, I've always known about Jesus, but I never really knew how he impacted so many people. The reason I want to be baptized is because of the way Jesus has been so prominent in my life. I also want to be joyous to the people around me. Jesus can help save so many people that don't even know it, and I want to be a part of letting people know.
Evelyn, is it your desire to let the world know that you love Jesus through the act of baptism?
Yes.
All right. All right, Evelyn Thuman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Oh, let me pray for you. Sorry, you can't get away yet that easily, right? Evelyn, we pray, Jesus, that you would be with Evelyn as she continues her journey with you as well. Allow her to have a spirit of life and hope and grace as she moves forward from here. Allow her to understand and realize that her confidence, her value, and her worth are found in you and nothing else. We thank you so much for that truth and that reality, and we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, congratulations.
Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm a sister in Christ to Tori. Here is Victoria's faith story. I grew up Roman Catholic, so I have always known of Christ, but never really walked with him. My life before Christ had been one of enduring all different kinds of situations. A lot of them were brought on by my own choices, and not many of them were very pleasant. I was hopeless. I often questioned God. I held so much unforgiveness in my heart that I thought I was too far gone. My first humbling moment was when my 5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with brain cancer. I begged and pleaded with God to save her, and he made a way. By his grace, we are 7 years post-treatment with no evidence of disease. But even after that, I still wasn't fully walking with Christ. I let the world swallow me up again. Then came the pandemic, and God called me back to himself. I fully came back to Christ in March of 2020, in the way my eyes were opened to the grace of God and how the Holy Spirit has moved through my entire life was overwhelming. I downloaded the Bible app and started reading Genesis. I read through the Gospels by July 2020. I couldn't get enough of the truth. I realized that God does have a purpose for me. The call to service and mission work has been a part of my storyline, and now stepping into that more fully makes so much sense. Accepting Christ fully has been life-changing. I still face hardships in life, but now I know that I have a firm foundation in him, that I am loved more than I could ever imagine. I am not alone, that God is for me. He is so sovereign over any obstacle that is placed on my path. I will trust the Lord's plan for me, even in my trials, because Jesus is enough.
Victoria, is it your desire to let the world know that you love Jesus through the act of baptism?
Sure is.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, Victoria Thuman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! All right. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Victoria, Tori. And we just thank you that you are doing incredible things in her life. And even in the brokenness in the past, she's been able to see your hand at work. And I pray that you would continue to do that as she moves forward in a relationship with you. As well, understanding that her worth and her value and her identity are found in you and nothing else. Guide and direct her paths and bless her the days to come. We love you so much and pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Linda. This is my husband, Mike. This is Mike's testimony. Why am I choosing to be baptized at this point in my life? In the past 4 to 5 years, through the time spent in community groups, Bible study, devotional time, and conversation, I've come to learn and realize more of who I am and, more importantly, who Jesus is. For me, this has been a time of growth in my understanding and faith. It has impacted how I practice my faith, the choices I make, and how I live day to day. I'm learning that Jesus did for me on the cross, and know that he will continue to be my guide. And with that being said, though I know I have a whole lot more to learn, but I love Jesus and I want to live with his love in my heart. Therefore, I wanted to be baptized today to publicly show my dedication to and my love for Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
Mike, is it your desire to be baptized this morning?
Yes, it is.
In your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
All right. Mike Connors, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mike. We thank you for the life that he has led up into this point, and we can't wait to see you continue to pull him through and to continue to guide and direct him. Let him be a beacon of light for those that he is around and interacts with each and every day in his circle of influence. Allow him to strive after loving you more and more as he embraces the love that you have for him. We thank you so much for all of this and acknowledge that you love him so much. And we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Good morning. This is Linda's testimony. Having been raised in a wonderful family with a father and a mother that taught me to love and be loved was a blessing. They raised me to feel safe, fearless, trusting of others, worthy, and again, so loved. My parents modeled what faith looked like, forming my belief that God was real and I believed in him. As for having a relationship with him, I was not quite there yet. But that all changed when I went away to college. An experience left me struggling with trust issues, feeling unsafe, fearful, unworthy, and unloved. Feeling empty and out of control of my life, I began to seek God. In seeking him through prayer, scripture, faith-filled friends, and most importantly, quiet time in his presence, a relationship developed. Now I knew my loving, eternal Father. Over time, the more I surrendered to him, trusting him with his plans for me, I felt peace, free of fear, experiencing real joy. Life became easier, carefree, and simple, much like when I was a little girl. How did this happen? I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Jesus rescued me. He taught me forgiveness and unconditional love. He freed me from bondage to things of this world. Now he lives within me, guiding me daily, sometimes minute by minute. Today, my best and favorite relationship is the one I have with God through Christ. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 began my journey. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Linda, is it your desire to tell the world that you love Jesus through the act of baptism?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Linda Connors, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Let me pray for you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Linda. And we thank you the fact that you do know the plans that you have for her. And that you've been pulling her along through this life up until this point, even right now. And that you're going to continue to guide and lead and direct her as she goes from here. Give her the confidence and the authority in that as she moves forward. We love you and we praise you and ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.